Okay, here's our agenda for today. Let's see, Longley, you're up to scribe. Do you mind? Are you in a position to?
Yeah, that's fine.
Thanks. All right, on the agenda today is a recap of the Groningen Declaration meeting. Eric, if you can give us Eric and Sonny, if you can give
Sure.
us a rundown on that meeting, that would be good. The credentials working group charter is now far more embedded into the web payments face-to-face meeting in New York City. Do an update on that. We need to talk about the RDF graph normalization stuff, as we were discussing at the beginning of the call, and we also need to go over the email that I just sent out on the support questionnaire for the work, the credentials work, and then we need to talk about focus, where we're gonna. We basically need to assign work to people so that some of these documents start being refined at a faster pace than they're being refined right now. Any other updates or changes to the agenda? Anything else we should discuss?
Just I don't know if we'll get into it today if Nate joins us or not, but I have been trying to test the version 1.1 specs that was released. Thanks, Nate, you're here. So I'd love to hear a little bit of feedback, and I've also been doing some manual assertions to test out the validator. So
So let's put that on the agenda as well. Any other updates or changes to the agenda? Let's see. Let's do the yeah. Let's go ahead and take it in order. All right. Groningen Declaration meeting. There. So Eric, Sonny, mind giving us a rundown?
go ahead, Sonny. I'll follow with anything you can fill in.
Sure. Hi, everybody. Can you guys hear me? Well, this was my first time going to the Groningen Declaration Summit. I actually found out about this in October, at which point I think I brought Eric and I brought it to the attention of this group, and we got Victoriano Hidart, who's the tech lead and president of Groningen, to join this credential community group as well. It was a, we what I found. The Groningen Declaration. Eric, I actually have to. Can you go and then I'll follow up with you quickly. I have to quickly mute.
Eric, are you muted?
Sure, I can fill in while Sonny needs to take a break. So it was also my first time attending. I think it's only the second year, might be the third year, in its infancy. It's an invitation only event. What I found was the breadth of initiatives going on around the world in creating interoperability between systems. And I think that I would say from a 50,000 foot up viewpoint, I think the bigger issue for most of these international people, as well as here in the United States, is that much of it of the concern is around governance of this data, as much as and less about the technology. The technology, although some of it is being developed in Finland, there's some great work being done in the Arab states, are being done some great work in Australia. All of them are working on ways to create interoperability between systems, but primarily those efforts are being done in a direct pipes, if you will, or deep pipes of database to database, machine to machine through private pipes. I did not see anything that was going to be similarly proposed to what we were doing from a perspective of a standard where disparate systems could communicate in a network without necessarily needing to know about each other from a direct pipe perspective. perspective. But I think that the work that they were doing, which was creating this interoperability between systems and basically moving data from place to place, is an important role, especially given all of the governance that has to go on between the privacy, the release, control of all of this data. So I think that that work that they're doing is important. And during my presentation, which was one of the last presentations, I made the point, and I was basically there on behalf of the Open Credentials Community Group, was saying, this is great work that you're doing, but eventually you're going to want to communicate with systems that don't know about you or don't have direct pipes to your databases. This could be, this proposal that we're trying to promote at the W3C community group is to offer the ability to have a universal, ubiquitous way to distribute and consume credentials. So so I think that point was well made. I think it was well received. Parchment was there. Student Clearinghouse was there. There was a couple of other badging as well as digital credential organizations that were there. And I made them all very aware of the work that we're doing and, of course, invited them to join our initiative here. So there was some follow-up that I need to do with about three or four entities that probably are in a position to start to look at what we're doing. That would be more on sort of a one-on-one initiative. But I definitely felt that I know that Richard just said he was speaking with Parchment. I know that the CEO of Parchment sat in every presentation that I did, and we had a lot of conversations, and he was very attentive to what we're doing. So I think they're very interested in the work. That's really all I have. It was a fantastic exchange. There was a lot of opportunity for networking, a lot of opportunity to hear what other people are doing. They are going to be posting all of the videos and presentations. Every presentation was videotaped, and they will be publishing it to the public. And as soon as that's available, I will also post it to the group, so you could follow the sessions.
Great. Thanks, Eric. Sunny, do you have anything to add a different perspective on what happened?
I'm going through the notes, and I largely agree with Eric. I think a lot of the conversations were around it was largely formal educational institutions and people operating within that space, and it was people trying to tackle the issues of interoperability of student data as student data exists today. So trying to develop technologies around transcripts, making that, thinking about interoperability around systems, around how transcripts migrate and are made portable, or grades and all that stuff. The digital credential conversation is really new to them, in my opinion. And so Eric and I were kind of like the new folks who are thinking about how student data, who are envisioning how student data is working like in the future. And also, like Eric mentioned, I think a lot of these folks are, there was a policy track and a technology track, but like those thinking about implementation strategies track. And, you know, the majority of the group, I would say, were mostly policy oriented folks and not as many technical minds. Would be my opinion. Eric, if you can feel free to chime in if you disagree.
Just plus one, dear.
Okay, so is this, I'm formulating a question. So it was worth it to go there and kind of tell them about what we're doing. Do we expect any of them to join in the work? That's the first question. And the second question is, would it be worth going back and giving them an update next year or the year after that?
I think so. Victoriano Hidart, who is the president, is fully aware of this effort, and he's a primary, like one of the primary drivers of the initiative, and he's very much a part of this credential community group and tapped into the work that we're doing. I do think that they're definitely interested in this. I think the work will, our work is going to probably make a lot of progress in a year. So I think it would definitely be worthwhile revisiting how our efforts come together in a year. But, you know, of course, like have the check-ins throughout the year and the progress check-ins, and that will obviously be facilitated because we have members of that group that are a part of this community group too.
Good.
I would concur that we should definitely have a presence there on an ongoing basis as long as that organization is in place. The volume of credentials that they're passing around, or the potential of that population, is incredible. China was there presenting their solution, and they have 20 million. Registered users already of students in their network. So, you know, when you start to think about those kinds of numbers, it's sort of a little bit mind-boggling. And then you look at the Arab nations, I don't remember exactly the number, but it was in the millions of how many they have already. So these are all student records and ways of validating that the student has achieved what they say they are. Not much different than what Student Clearinghouse does today, or Parchment, or ScriptSafe, or any of the others. So these are people who definitely want to know. I had a chance to do a couple of one-on-one demonstrations of our open source demo that we have up on the Open Creds, and gave two or three, one to the Chinese delegation, one to the Finland delegation, I can't remember the third one. It was to the gentleman from Italy, Ravioli is his last name, believe it or not. And all of them were very much impressed and certainly, as Sunny said, opened their eyes to what's out there. So.
Okay. I met with Victoriano in the Netherlands a while ago, I think 2 or 3 months ago, and my read on him was the same. He's very much a strong player in the space. He's mostly hooked into the IT departments of many of the EU universities. He's got a very, very deep network there. And so he said, I mean, he's like, you know, like Sonny said, he's very involved in this group as well. He believes in what we're doing. So I think we won't have to work that hard to keep them up to date. He will stay up to date on what we're doing.
Yeah.
He believes.
And next year it's going to be next year will be in South Africa. Just so you know, it's the hosting.
Okay.
It was between, and I suspect Australia will be following right after that, because that was the debate where it was going to be, or not debate, but the sort of excitement of what they were going to announce.
Well, one of the things that was mentioned is they're kind of getting a lot of momentum around people agreeing on the importance of this, people signing up and making the commitment. We are committed to enabling student data portability, student data migration, student data interoperability. But the next step for them, the next big challenge for them, is actually like making that actionable. We have lots of signatories at the table. We have more momentum around people making that commitment, but actually coming through with a plan to come through with like implementation details is obviously, I feel like, the next kind of big kind of agenda item that the group will have to start actively tackling. And I think this group will help them. We can potentially play a big role in helping them think through those implementation details.
Great. Awesome. That's fantastic.
So I
think that's fantastic news.
I definitely think the Student Clearinghouse has definitely taken a stronger look at what's going on with this group based on the things that we talked about there and of course, Sunny's presentation. And they also sit on the board of the Groningen. So as well as, I think, Parchment. So I would say that the more likely players to probably step up earlier, or the ones I would want to go after to try to recruit harder, would be those two entities for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know if Sunny had done any kind of... she and I, unfortunately, didn't get to see much of each other, but I think we were both running around trying to meet as many people as we could. So.
Yep. And I actually know Matt Patinsky from Parchment decently mm-hmm. well.
Yep.
And he's definitely engaged and interested and has his finger on the pulse of a lot of this work that we're engaged in, digital credentialing and all that stuff, and definitely sees that as the next step forward. Yep. So I don't think making a case with him will be very difficult. Even Rick Torres from National Clearinghouse, in all of his presentations that I sat in, he mentioned digital credentials multiple times. So mm-hmm. I definitely think that he himself is also seeing this as another student record, another piece of learning data that needs to be captured and needs to be made interoperable, portable, et cetera. So I think the case has been made. I do feel like they are... philosophically onboarded, but we probably should be actively engaged with them to think about next steps moving forward.
Right, and I think the next actionable thing for this group is to ask them to come and join the W3C work, you know, ask them if they'd support the creation of a credentials group, and then say, all right, are you going to participate? Because now's the time, you know, to speak up. So that's good. I think that dovetails nicely into what we're the rest of what we need to talk about today, but the things that we're going to try and accomplish over the next 2 to 3 months. So it's great that both of you have made those connections now. It'll make our jobs much easier. Okay, anything else on the Groningen Declaration?
I had one thing, but I can't remember what it was. If I come back to it, I'll let you know.
Okay, all right. Thanks a bunch, Eric and Sunny, for going out there and representing the group and helping make the next couple of months a bit easier on us by talking to all those people. Okay.
Yep.
Next up is let's see. I'm trying to think if we should. Let's talk about the.
Oh, I know what it was, Jim Manu.
Okay.
The one thing is the Eremitz project, which is the Arab Nation project. Their IDP is primarily Shibboleth. Almost, they use a completely federated methodology. So they almost all the colleges and schools integrate with their system. Their IDP solution is Shibboleth.
Okay.
So I thought that was important, and I think you mentioned that to me, Manu. Going into that event to look out for that, and that was proven out by the slides and the presentations.
Okay, interesting.
And I'll get you the presentation on that, and I'll submit some. Once I gather all my stuff, I'll make a post to the to our credentials group mailing list.
Okay, great. Thank
there
you.
Was one, there were two specific video presentations, and they're only half an hour. That I think we should be looking at. There was one that was done at the end that showed how they want to bounce back and forth between systems to do authentication, and it was really, really wacky, and it seemed crazy the way that they were going about it. And it was a proposal; it necessarily wasn't a solution yet. And the other one was a presentation by the work that's being done in Finland, which I thought was a significant project.
Yeah, I mean, we still don't have a good response to the plethora of different authentication standards that folks are wanting to use. I mean, you know, OpenID Connect, SAML, Shibboleth, you know, LTI, everyone's using kind of a mixture of all of them. And if we try to support all of them, we're going to make this into this gigantic monolithic monstrosity. So we need to set aside some time to talk about that. Anyway,
okay.
That's not for the call today.
Yep.
Let's go ahead and get on with the rest of our agenda because we still have quite a bit to discuss today. Next topic up is the...
correction for Longley. It's not about the authentication as much as it is the permission. This bouncing back and forth, had to do with the who owns the data and who has to give you release and to be able to consume the data. And I really was thinking in the back of my mind how we could use badges or digital credentials to offer that authority back and forth. And I thought that was a really important thing. The other thing that I drew out of that conversation was a possible extension of our specification, which is to talk about privacy, and perhaps building into the credential privacy enforcement. I know Richard Vaughn has talked to me about this in the past. And the states right now, the FERPA is about to get a big, big overhaul here in the states. And every state's going to be able to issue their own privacy policy. And there's work being done, and Sonny, you might want to look into this, over in IMS Global, what's called the Nutrition Label Project, which allows you to pop up in your application how you're going, what you can do with this data and what privacy concerns are. And we might want to think about that as an extension or some way that we put that into the credential so that it can be enforced. So that was a big takeaway from me.
Yeah. So to echo that, the Web Payments Group is looking at what rights an organization receiving an organization for a credential has once they get that credential. So, for example, when a bank onboards you, can they then resell that information to third parties?
Right.
And they want, basically a privacy policy and use statements in a machine-readable format in the credential
yep.
that you transmit so that it's very clear what the legal obligations for the receiver are.
And to build a library using JSON-LD as a data framework for that kind of thing could be really powerful, because that every state could have their own context or their own definition of privacy elements. And so that could be a really interesting project.
Yep.
Right. I think this is similar to things that we've talked about with Tim Holborn a few months back regarding putting machine-readable statements about how credentials can be used when they're transmitted, so that the person who's agreeing to transmit them has to agree to how the credential can potentially be used by the person you're transmitting it to. So we just need to figure out how much of that's actually going to go into the standard, or how much of it will be specified perhaps in another document, or we could just talk about how it could be done. So it's mostly a scope issue, I think.
Yeah, it's similar to the way they're doing it in IMS Global. It's similar to like when you add an app on your phone, and as it pops up on the screen, it says, this is going to access your username, your network address, all that stuff. Okay, that's what they want, to have every application that works with LTI to be able to pop up and say, here's the things that I'm going to be transmitting. Do you accept or not accept? And I don't know if there's a parallelism to credentials, but that's something we should think about.
Yeah, that's definitely how we were thinking about it when we were having the conversations earlier. It'd be very similar to that.
Okay. All right. Anything else on Groningen or lessons learned from there before we move on?
Nope. Sorry.
Okay. No problem. No, this is all important stuff. Okay, the OBI JSON-LD context, I think we hit a snag with it, Nate, meaning that we discovered, I don't know if this is the same thing, you're going to talk about the same thing or not, Eric, but we've discovered that when there is a cache miss, Amazon S3 CloudFront, sorry, when there's an Amazon CloudFront cache miss, when you're trying to retrieve the document, the proper course headers are not set, and that results in any browser-based verification, badge verifier, credential verifier, they fail, right? So have you seen this problem before, or are you aware of it?
Interesting. So the CloudFront server is caching the main server, S3 server, result mostly But then it's if in the case when it doesn't have a copy and it has to go fetch it to return to you, it's not forwarding the right headers over to I
Yeah,
imagine.
specifically the content type is not correct. The cores headers are not set. Those two things.
Yeah, Nate, if you remember, this is what we were seeing when you were first trying to get it set up.
And then I thought we had made a modification to fix that, but I will double check and make sure, particularly that content type is sent over. I'll get back to you by hopefully the end of the day with an answer on that. I've been using the playground on jsonld.org consistently without fail so far, but you know, we definitely need to make sure this works all the time. So
it might be tough to debug since it's a caching issue. I don't know if there's a tool in there you can use to kind of drop or clear out the cache, or something of that nature.
It's possible. I will look into it.
The question I have for Nate and Sunny and group is I've handcrafted a few assertions just to sort of test the new LD stuff, and my stuff is validating through the validator without any problem, but it's coming back as a 1.0 validation. So I'm wondering, was there any code to determine whether I'm pushing out 1.1 or not? And if so, then maybe I'm doing it wrong. Okay.
Right. Currently, the Mozilla validator, as hosted online, is not testing for those 1.0 or 1.1 extra properties, which are basically the context ID and type properties.
Okay.
But we are working with Mozilla to get an update to that pushed out real soon. Mozilla's been fairly busy on it, and I might end up writing the code myself, finishing it up. I've done a couple preliminary tests, and it's looking like it won't be very hard to add, even though their Mozilla validator structure is a little wonky in how they adapted it from the 0.5 version to the 1.0. I don't think it'll be that crazy to throw in a little bit of 1.1.
Okay.
But I'll have an update for you by this call next week on that, and hopefully that update will just be...
My goal was to publish actually this fake badge, if you will, out there so that people could see a layout. Maybe you and I could collaborate on building a sort of a real live example that can be tested or something so people can see how it runs.
That sounds great. I'd appreciate that. And in addition to the Mozilla package, at Concentric Sky, we are building a validator as well, just sort of rebuilding it from scratch to validate all the different versions of open badges that have been released so far, including 1.1. And that's not out yet, but hopefully by next week or so, that'll be out as well.
Is that going to be open source?
I'd love to collaborate with you. Yeah, open source as part of our Badger server package.
Okay.
That can be
That'd
used
be
independent
know.
Of the issuing platform component.
Very cool.
So that's on the Python Django stack.
Very cool. Should the community host that somewhere? Could the credential CG host it somewhere? I mean, I'm guessing Concentric would host it as well.
Yeah, we're certainly going to host it, we can talk about other potential possibilities. Badge Alliance might be able to do it, but if you've got resources and to host a Django package, I certainly, you know, on behalf of the credentials group, that would be a fine place to put it too. And after that's released, we can talk about that and arrange a good community-owned space for that.
Okay, sounds good. Great news. Eric, was that the concern that you had?
That was it.
All
right. Other than the thing that you brought up, but you covered it.
I don't think this requires any work on our part, but I was using curl to access the JSON-LD context, and it told me that the SSL certificate was not valid. It is valid if you have an updated set of root certificate authorities. My machine, I think, is out of date by around 4 months, so it didn't know. The Gandhi certificate that's being used for the Open Badges server to serve the secure thing, it's too new. So just mentioning that, if other people hit the issue, typically all you have to do is just wait until the software packages catch up.
I had one question in reading the docs that were posted on the 1.1, and this is just a question to the group. Is it standard to request that as an HTTPS, or is it doesn't matter? I know it resolves right to S, you know, if you ping it, but I'm wondering, is it should the annotation or examples show HTTPS, or doesn't it matter? What's the best practice
I think
for?
We talked about this on the call last week, and I think Nate
He's
gonna, no, that's fine. He's gonna say update it to say HTTPS.
Okay.
So, yeah,
I was trying to follow that. We should
be telling everyone to just use HTTPS. There's no reason not to these days. It used to be a valid reason.
So you're talking about in reference to the specification document and the vocabulary essentially itself. Because I have most of the examples of putting all the machine readable components. I've been looking through those and making sure that it's all HTTPS.
I was referring to the history 1.1 HTML file, and it just shows some examples.
Oh, cool. Thanks. Okay. I'll make sure to update that exactly. Yeah, I see the problem now. That should indeed be HTTPS.
Yeah, because I find that IE really doesn't like it when you mix. you'll get a mix error on your header. Saying you're mixing contexts, and if you don't have a switch right, it will fail.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We've encountered some problems with Android as well, where the default HTTP fetching library will not follow redirects from insecure protocols to secure protocols. So we have to make sure that even though we would be redirecting through W3ID, we don't get anybody, including the insecure one, in their implementations, just in case the library is doing something like that Android one is.
Yep. Yeah. And it's not just the Android one. There are a number of libraries that don't do that, and for good security reasons, you shouldn't do that by default. It enables a man-in-the-middle attack effectively.
And LTI will break badly when you start moving into that direction.
Yep.
LTI will fail unless it sees HTTPS.
Okay, anything else on technical glitches or issues that we've noticed?
Well, thanks for reporting this, all.
No problem. Okay, if there's nothing else there, let's chat a bit about the RDF graph normalization work. Greg, you went to the linked data platform face-to-face meeting in San Francisco a couple of weeks ago and proposed that, or you asked them if, there was a chance that the RDF graph normalization work could be pulled in. The response was, we are so busy with other more high-priority things that we don't think we can fit it in here. So I think now we're in the position of trying to find a home for the RDF graph normalization stuff. Greg, was that a proper summary of where we are? You might be muted.
Indeed, I am. The purpose of that meeting was really to go through all of the, sort of the follow-through items from the existing set, and then look at important issues that need to be addressed by the next group. And there was a long list, and a lot of important issues that are really right in the middle of what the LDP needs to do did not make the cut, and therefore, although I did spend about 5 minutes talking about normalization and really that it was sort of a done deal in most respects, it's looking for a home. It just did not get the attention of the group. So it doesn't look like that's going to be a home.
Okay, so I guess I'll take an action to chase down Phil Archer and get him to commit to something at W3C. I know that they wanted to get it done, And they've been trying to find they've been hoping that a home for it would just appear, I think.
Yeah.
And it's not happening. So we just need to really lean on them to say, you know, you guys need to create this. I think at the beginning of the call, you know, there was Dave Longley proposed that we could maybe put it into the credential CG work or just put it in their charter, so that it does have a home, and then carve out a separate task force with specialists that understand.
Well,
that
I think it is in our proposed charter, last I looked.
Well, yeah, there's a star beside it that say that it might be moved into another group like LDP. But now that's no longer an option, so we might propose it as a part of the charter. And you know, that might work. The reason I'm somewhat skeptical is that there are a number of organizations that I know will speak up and say that it's sloppy for us to put that in with the credential stuff, because it really has to do with RDF and all that kind of stuff. So there's a question on whether it's going to attract the right people. And before, when we talked to W3C management about it, they said, we trust you guys because you've been doing this for a while at W3C, so we think we could spin up a microgroup to just get it done, so that it at least exists as a W3C rec, so that the credentials group and other groups like LDP can start referencing it from their specs. So I'll touch base with Phil and get him on the phone and try to hammer out an actual plan. Anything else on the graph normalization stuff? Any questions or concerns about it?
Just a pointer back to the top of the minutes for a couple of comments that I had received on the existing state of the document.
Okay, I'll move that into the proper area in the minutes. Can you share?
It was an exchange with James Anderson on a sort of a. We were talking about something else, and it went off into this direction a little bit. It was a private email, so on the other hand, I don't think there's anything sensitive in there. I did point him towards this group, suggested he might want to become involved. I think that's not likely, but I think if we do discuss stuff, I certainly would suggest that we make sure that this go out to relevant groups, even if it's sort of the old comments on, say, the RDF working group and SEMWeb, that we really try to get some broad review, and of course solicit input.
Yep, definitely. I'm not familiar with him. Is he, which organization is he with, or is he independent?
He is at Datagraph, which is the DIDRA Sparkle engine. And they have one of the high end Sparkle implementations out there. So he's deeply steeped in all of this stuff.
Okay. It would be great to get his more of his input when we get the ball rolling on the official group.
I'll send him a pointer to the minutes here and suggest that he chime in.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Anything else on this topic before we move on?
The only other thing is that I and one of my other Ruby RDF compatriots are planning to do an implementation shortly.
Yay! That's great news. I mean, if we have that going into it, that's going to make everyone's life a lot easier. We'll have two interoperable implementations, or the hope is that we will have two interoperable implementations, which, for those that don't know about W3C process, that's what's required. At a minimum, you have to have two interoperable implementations to get an official standard, and if we have that going in, I think that will make a lot of the W3C membership happier or less resistant to spinning up a group to do it quickly. Okay, anything else on graph normalization before we move on? We've got 10 minutes left in the call. We have two topics to cover, minimum. The credentials working group charter is now on the web payments agenda. The web payments agenda in New York City is shaping up, meaning that there's been a lot of content created and they're starting to assign times now. So Richard and Eric, pay attention to the 16th of June, specifically the afternoon, where it says credentials, colon, what do we need for payments? That's it, from 2:30 to 3, and then from 3:30 to 4:30 is a review of the draft working group charters, including the credentials working group charter. So there are a couple of things that I think I'd like out of this meeting. One, I just discovered that they're already at capacity, meaning that it's just they're full. Meaning that now we need to get a special invitation from the chairs to get Richard and Eric into the room. I don't think that'll be difficult. We just have to do it ASAP to make sure that we get in on that queue. The other thing, the second thing is, of course, I think I'd like to present with one or two of you, or both of y'all end up presenting, and I just sit back and watch the question is, how credentials impact more than just the payment stuff. I think we're going to try to convince the Web Payments IG to say that a credentials group needs to be created, and then at the same time, this credentials CG is going to come out with a list of all the organizations aside from the Web Payments IG that are in support of it. Richard, specifically you, and I think Eric, you as well, I would like you guys to attend at least 2 days of the event, if possible, so that you can understand what is going to be required of the chairs. So how chairing actually works in practice, because I think it'll be a good experience to just observe what's going on and hopefully prime you for when you need to do the same thing. 3 or 4 months after the New York City meeting. So, Richard, I don't know if you can knock free 2 days out of your schedule to go to New York City.
I've blocked both days off. That's not a problem. You originally told me to be there for 2 hours on one day, so I'll have to adjust to that. But I just need to know how to register at this point. So how do I get signed up?
Let me. I need to put you in touch with the chairs and then get that worked out. And it's really up to you. I mean, if you feel like you understand how to chair one of these things, you don't need to stick around for 2 days.
I need to know for sure when's the 2 hour block that you say where we're going to be talking about our topic. I need to know when that is. And then
right now,
it is
in the afternoon of June 16th.
Okay.
It would start at 2:30 and go till around 4:30. With a break in between.
Okay. Well, so why don't I go for the morning of that? I'll go for that day, and I can go look and scrounge around and see what the other folks are doing and absorb a bit. If I feel like I need to go for the second day, I will. If not, I won't.
Sounds good. Yep. Yeah. And then, Eric, same thing for you.
I'm blocking out the 16th and the 17th, or the 15th, 16th, and
17th? 16th, definitely. You have to be there on the 16th.
Okay.
And then the other days are up to you.
Okay.
Is it the 15th, too, that's going on? I thought it was just the 16th, 17th.
It's the 16th, 17th, and 18th. So it's the 16th through the 18th, but the only days that are required for both of you are the 16th.
Okay.
Right.
And what is this title, WC3?
Web Payments Face-to-Face.
Got it.
Okay. So
and do we have a location?
It is going to be at Bloomberg headquarters in New York City.
Got it.
731 Lexington Avenue. I put the URL into the meeting minutes, so you guys will get that after the call, and it's in IRC. About a page up on IRC.
I got it. I got it. There's a registration form there, but I don't know if I can use that, right?
You're not an IG member. You won't be able to use that.
Okay.
I need to send an email and CC both you and Richard on it, and we'll set that up.
Can you just say that address one more time while I've got it handy? I'm typing it in.
Yeah, it's 731 Lexington Avenue.
Thank you.
731 Lexington Avenue.
Got it. Bloomberg at HQ. Got it. Thank you.
So I think there are going to be around 40 people in the room for both days, and then on the last day they're having a roundtable with 60 to 80 people from the financial industry mostly. Actually, there are two more items. We've got 2.5 minutes for each. Next topic up is the credentials working group support questionnaire. I put together the questionnaire for the support form. This is basically the form that asks, we are going to shortly start contacting a number of companies on our recruiting list. We're going to send them two links. One of them is a summary of the work, depending on who we're contacting, we're going to have to refine the summary. So this summary is for W3C members. So a summary for W3C members. So that's the summary, executive summary of what we're doing. It's formatted in a way that W3C, a lot of the W3C contacts, membership organization contacts, they will understand what's going on. They don't need background on what W3C is and, you know, that kind of stuff. And then at the end, we're going to be asking them to say whether or not they support whether or not they support the creation of a credentials working group. Credentials working group form. So there's the link to that. And it's the take a look at the support form. Tell us if we're missing anything. Basically, it asks the person's name, which organization they represent, whether or not they support the creation of a group. Then it asks them if they're a member. If they're not a member, do they plan on joining? And then it gives them an idea of how much it would cost to join a year, just to get that data so that we can take it to W3C management shortly. W3C is breathing down our neck to get this information to them. They want it sooner than later, so we need to move on this in the next 2 weeks, if possible. Okay, last agenda item. Take any discussion on that to the mailing list. Last agenda item is Pearson recruiting. Recruiting a co-chair from Pearson. I have sent an email out to was it Peter Janzow, asking them if they'll co-chair. I think there is some concern about Pearson co-chairing that we may need to talk about offline. Other potential co-chairs could come from an organization like Blackboard. In any case, you know, it's still in the formative stages. We need to see if Pearson's interested in co-chairing, and if they're not, we might move on to another organization like Blackboard, or even Microsoft or Gates Foundation, who said they might be interested. Okay. Any questions on anything we've covered today? Anything else that we should just talk about before the call next week, or be aware of before the call next week? Okay.
Renu, just a clarification again on the agenda. It looks like it's June 18th that you need us there. That's the, because I'm looking at the credentials working group. That's if I'm looking at the agenda, that's June 18th.
I'm looking at thing. Maybe you should refresh the page. Maybe you have a cached copy.
Looking at the June 2015 face-to-face, and I'm looking at June 16th, and I go to 17th, and I go to 18th, and I look at, topics. Okay, I'm sorry. I thought the topics are for the June 18th.
Yeah, topics, that's old information. They've moved that into the actual agenda.
Got it.
That is confusing.
Okay.
We'll edit the page and strike that.
Okay, sorry.
No, that's fine.
I thought there was a lot of topics to cover in one day, but that's okay.
Yeah, it'll be amazing if we can get through this agenda in 3 days. All right, if there's nothing else, thanks everyone for the call, and we'll meet again next week. Please try and focus on, if folks on the call have spare time, focus on a recruiting document, writing content for a recruiting document for non-W3C members, and also go into the use cases document and either fill it out or add review comments to the document, because we really need to get that into shape. All right. Thanks, everyone, for the call. We'll chat again next week. Bye.
Bye.
See you.
Bye-bye.